Ta-da! Okay, it's January the 8th, 2023, in the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. If it sounds a little different to the folks out there in Sermon Audio, it's because we're meeting in the fellowship hall while we're having work done inside the meeting hall. And there's no carpet on the floor in the fellowship hall. I'm thinking about putting foam rubber on the walls so it'll stop the echoing. Philippians. The title of the message today, I don't know if we'll get to it, is Reaching Forth. It's in Philippians 3 and 13. And I would like to start in Philippians 1:1 and read. Because Eli, you awake? You listening? Eli, I don't know how often he actually hears the word read. Or any of you. Now, I listen to it on YouTube all the time. If I'm at home, when I'm going to bed or whatever, it's on. And they're reading. And I even found out that there are words that I do not pronounce correctly. Can you believe that? As good as my English is. The pastor at Philippi. I've never pronounced his name correctly according to the English people over yonder in London. And that's where some of them are from that read this. And I was listening to it last night and again this morning early. And yeah, I have... And I might not pronounce it right today either. But let's begin in Philippians 1:1. Now, a little bit about this. The apostle being God's instrument in the Philippians' conversion, being the first to preach to the gospel to them. You might remember Lydia down by the river in Acts 16, 12 through 32 is where Lydia and where Paul and Silas witnessed the opening of Lydia's heart by God and her believing on the Lord Jesus and her entire household. And so the Philippian jailer also and his whole household and were all baptized the same hour as the apostle. He took the apostle and Silas, you know, he had them in prison. And when the doors swung open and the chains fell off of all the prisoners, he was fixing to commit suicide because he knew what was going to happen to him. He said, "Harm not thyself," Paul cried out. "We are all here." And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And so he took Paul and Silas home with him, and they cleaned up their wounds, and the Philippian jailer and all of his household were saved and baptized, believed the same hour. So I'd like to read a little bit about this. We could go to Acts 16, 12, and 32, but I just told you the gist of that part of it. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ. Now, you can look at it while I read it, but I want you to listen to me read it. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you, and all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Let's stop there for just a second. The apostle, being the first one to preach to these people, Paul and Silas, and it was Lydia down by the river where the women had gathered to pray, the Jewish women, and Paul began to preach to them, and then the Philippian jailer, and then a church was born. And Paul preached to them for a good while, and the church grew and grew. And so when he first starts out, he says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. That means pastor. The pastors and deacons. And you remember who their pastor is. If you don't, you will in a little bit. Because they sent him to Rome to see Paul when he was in prison. Paul loved these people, and it was a big church. Might even been more than one in Philippi. Philippi may have been more than one there. But he had a great love for these people. And that's why he wrote and is writing like he is to these folks. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Talking about his bonds being in prison. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supplication of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with his father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. I had that down so good this morning. Epaphroditus, my brother, that's their pastor, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick, and indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Finally, my brethren, chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worshipeth God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Well, that took 18 minutes. Well, not quite. But we'll save chapter 4 till next week. I want to talk some about the apostle here. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, there's something that he's after. There's something that he's pursuing. And verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I hadn't made it to where I want to be yet. I hadn't got there yet. I'm getting there, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those things which are behind. He's not talking about his past sin. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about his past persecution of the church. He's not talking about his past self-righteousness. He's talking about the former things of this life. He's not looking to those things. He's forgetting those things. He's not going to dwell on those things. God has forgiven him for his sins. He is a new man. He's not the same old man. And therefore, he says, those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's reaching forth. He's comparing this to a race like they used to race in the Roman cathedral or Roman races, their athletics, how they raced. That's what he's comparing this to. And I pressed toward the mark, because there was always a mark at the finish line. They always had a red mark, white mark. They had some kind of mark there that was the finish line. And that's what he's saying here. I press toward the mark. The mark is the Lord Jesus. That's what he's pressing toward. That's what he means when he said, I press toward the mark. It's the Lord Jesus. That's in his mind always. That's what he was always preaching. He told them, he told the Corinthians, he said that I have declared to know nothing save Jesus Christ and the cross. That's all I know. That's all I'm going to preach to you. Is Jesus Christ and the cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I know nothing but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I press toward the mark. The Lord Jesus is the mark. And that's what he says here in the verses prior to that. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And look, people, churches today are the same thing. They preach that you got to do something in order to be saved. You got to come to Christ. You have to do the coming. You have to trust. You have to walk down the aisle. You have to do this, that, or the other thing in order to be saved. Well, that's just not true. That's not what he's teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches. You don't find anywhere in the Bible that it says such. It doesn't say that. You're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But they're preaching the same thing today. The Roman Catholics are doing the same thing, and nobody will preach against them. All the news channels have just covered up all last week with this dying and putting him out for people to come and visit, this Pope, this Antichrist. Because that's what they are. They are Antichrist. We seem to forget that they killed Protestant people, our ancestors, in the faith. They killed them. They put them in prison because they would not turn. Micah, quit it. Because they wouldn't become Roman Catholics and they wouldn't succumb to their devil worship. And that's exactly what it is. Anytime you preach another gospel, the apostle said, let him be accursed. If he come preaching another gospel, if I come preaching another gospel, if anybody comes preaching another gospel, which is not another gospel, let him be accursed. Anathema. And people are scared to preach against the Roman Catholics because they follow them. They do as they do. Now I realize you're not preachers. You're not called to the ministry to minister the gospel of Christ. But you are called by God to do His Word. To keep His Word. And to know Him. To grow in grace, to be increased in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do that without reading the Scriptures and praying and seeking God and having communion and fellowship with Him. You cannot do that. Well, you saw what he read there, what we read there, what the apostle told them, minding earthly things. Well, I thought I would see it there. Our conversation is in heaven, he says. In other words, our manner of living is in heaven. We don't mind earthly things. We're not worried about this earth and this life on this earth as far as our pleasure is concerned. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to declare the gospel. We're here to refute false doctrine wherever we may find it. And you don't have to go very far to find it next door. It's a sad and a terrible thing. People try to have their own righteousness. Ask anybody, ask any regular, normal churchgoer, what do they think they have to do to go to heaven? And they'll tell you. They'll tell you what they think they have to do. They won't tell you that you must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God, like Christ told Nicodemus. They won't tell you that you have nothing whatsoever to do with it. But after a person is born from above by the Spirit of the living God, it becomes another whole affair. Now we are men, we are humans, and we grow. We start out as babes and we grow, but grow we will. And grow we do. Just like Eli's growing there, Micah's growing, we all grow. There's no question about it. Christian people are going to grow in Christ. They're going to draw nigh unto Him and He's going to draw nigh unto them. They're going to read His Word because they love Him. And when they go to church, that's the reason the Scripture says in Hebrews 9, not the forsaking of the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as you see the day approaching, do so therefore more often, because it's as you growing in Christ, if you're truly born again, when you hear people preach, preachers preach the gospel against sin and against worldliness and against the things of this world, and your own self, your old nature, causing you to do things that you ought not to be doing, when you hear those things, you have to question. What did he tell them a while ago? What did he tell them? To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Now what he told them? In verse 12 of chapter 2, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Doesn't mean work it out as in doing stuff. In your head, in your heart, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Are you truly in the faith or not? Are you growing? Are you sorry when you're not? That's part of growing, is recognizing that, phew, I'm failing in what I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian. Now, as a sinner, there's nothing you can do. There's not one thing you can do. You're going to repent after you've been converted. You're going to repent after you've been born from above by the Spirit of the living God and you realize, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner headed to hell. You're going to come to the Lord Jesus. You're going to come to the cross. But that's after you've been born from above. And then you're going to start growing. Are you going to fall? Yes. Are you going to fail? Yes. And you're going to hate it when you do. And you're going to beg God to forgive you. And you're going to pick up the book and read it. You're going to seek Him and hunger and thirst after Him. And He's going to touch your life. He's going to touch your heart. He's going to grow you. And you're going to love Him for it. Because you know what's going to happen. You're going to die one day. And you're going to face God. You're either going to heaven or hell. You must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God. And if you are, there are requirements for His people. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling is one of them. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, it's not faith that gives you salvation. Faith is merely a engine or a vehicle whereby you receive what He has done for you. It is by faith that you receive it, because you can't see Him no more. He's not here. You can't touch Him anymore. He's not here. Not physically, like He was at one time. It's by faith. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, I told you, the Apostle Paul last week, I told you, probably other than the Lord Jesus, the greatest man that ever walked on this earth. None ever worked harder. None ever committed and had purpose in his life the way the apostle did. I mean, he lost everything. He was a pretty wealthy fella and high up in the Jewish religion. And he lost it all. And he said, I count it but dung. We just read it. Waste, nothing. It was nothing. It added nothing to me. And people today are doing everything they can just to get ahead in life a little bit in this life. Looking for more pleasures and more entertainment. And they won't come to churches like Zion and Sovereign Grace over in Oklahoma and many places. They won't come because we don't have entertainment. We're not entertaining them with bands and with special music and with the children's church and all the feedings and all the entertainment. If it takes any more than the Word of God to bring you to church to hear, there's a problem. There's a problem. You should be fed by the Word of God, not coming to church because you enjoy the entertainment. You enjoy the preacher telling the little jokes and the choirs and the music and the instruments and all the things that they do. But the preaching of the, and just the reading of the Word of God, like Ezra did, and like the old priests did, they would stand for hours and the people would stand to hear them read the Word of God. It was usually after a prophet had told them, you're fixing to be destroyed. You're fixing to be hauled away from here of the ones of you that are not killed. And they would come. No different than Christians today. When you realize that you've done wrong, when you realize you're not what you're supposed to be and you're not doing what you're supposed to be as a Christian, because the Bible makes it very clear for Christian people. If you are truly a Christian, there are things that you are going to do. And if you are not doing those things, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because how do you know you're the elect one if you're not doing the things that the Bible requires Christians to do? How do you know? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you're not sure today, there's a good chance you are yet in your sins and going to bust hell wide open. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. This was the Apostle Paul. I mean, this is one of the best men that's ever walked the face of the earth, who loved the Lord. I mean, he loved Him with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. He just loved Him. And he said, I want to know Him better. I want to know Him more. I want to know more about Him. I want to know more about His incarnation. I want to know more about His birth, His conception. I want to know more about Him. I want to know more about the My word slips me. I want to know more about the agreement between God the Father and God the Son in eternity past. The covenant of grace. That's what I was trying to think of. That's what I was trying to say. The covenant of grace. I want to know more about that. And that's what the apostle's saying. I want to know Him better. I want to know the power of His resurrection. Not the power that it took for God to raise Him from the dead, or for Him to raise Himself from the dead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all had their hands in the ordeal. But Jesus was a man. He was a God-man, and He was a perfect man. There was none ever like Him. But He was a human with feelings, with weaknesses, and He got thirsty, and He got hungry, and He got weak, and He got tired, and it hurt Him when people rejected Him. He was a man, but He was a perfect man. And Paul says, I want to know the power of His resurrection. What happened when He resurrected and He was glorified and He took the sins of His people and His blood to the Holy of Holies in heaven, and now He sets and intercedes on our behalf. I want to know the power of that resurrection that justifies us. That makes it to where we now can go before the throne of grace. Before God's throne, the Almighty Father, we can now go, that is, people who have truly been washed in the blood. Now, because of the resurrection, the Bible says, His people, His sheep, His adopted children who've been converted and living in Christ. You must be in Christ. Now you have the right, the privilege to go before the throne of grace, because all these other people that pray, I won't mention what was said before we started, but all these other people that pray, and all these politicians and people said, we ought to pray, we need to pray, and all the news people who usually curse God and want to take God out of everything, when the football player got injured the other day, said, oh, we need to be praying for him, we need to be praying for him. To who? The devil? He is your God. You cannot pray to God the Father. You cannot come to Him. You cannot speak to Him. He does not hear you except you be one of His sheep. And Jesus Christ has died for your sins in your place. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You cannot pray to God. You can. Doesn't get past that ceiling that I could touch with my hand if I was younger. That I may know Him in the power of His and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, the apostle says, I want to know Him such that I know that I'm going to make it in the resurrection of the dead, meaning to go to heaven. I heard that song on the way to church on that bluegrass gospel, the gospel train. And it said, I see the heavens open and a ladder descending and angels descending and ascending. And I'm on my way home. Old woman telling her son, I see it. I see Jacob's ladder coming down. And I'm going home. And that's what the apostle's saying. Not as though I had already attained, either were perfect, but I follow after. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Now the apostle was pressing toward the Lord Jesus for the prize of the high calling. Now those are two different things. I press toward the mark. That's the Lord Jesus. He's the mark that I'm pressing toward. For the prize of the high calling. Well, what's the prize? Eternal life in heaven. That's the prize. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for death or the return of the Lord Jesus that we might receive our salvation. We're saved, and we know we are the children of God. We know we're saved. We know that Christ has purchased us with His own blood. We've been redeemed, but we hadn't actually received the salvation yet. It's not, we hadn't been caught up to heaven yet. We haven't ascended up on high to live with Christ forever yet. We're either going to die and have to wait for our bodies to be changed in the moment of the twinkling, or be raised from the dead and glorified to be reunited with our souls. Or we're going to wait for the return of the Lord Jesus. And then we receive our inheritance. We actually are headed to heaven. I mean, there's Jacob's ladder and the angels descending to get me, and I'm going up. I'm on my way. We're on our way now. I'm reaching forth unto those things. I press toward the mark. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, let us therefore as many as be perfect. That means complete. Be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, if you don't agree with me about this, what I've just told you, the first three chapters here, God will reveal it to you. He'll show you that you're wrong. He'll show you where you're missing the mark here. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. In other words, wherever you've attained to, walk in it. Do it. Keep it. And let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. You know who that is? That's so-called Christians. Those are the enemies of Christ. So-called Christians. So-called preachers. Like those rich ones that are on TV. That live in millions and billion dollar homes. And have jet airplanes. And call themselves ministers of the gospel. Where's their sufferings? How do they fellowship with the sufferings of Christ and with the apostle? He said, you have me for an example. While we're on this earth, we're going to suffer if we're Christian people, proclaiming and declaring the truth of God wherever we go. Now, we have been taught in school to always be polite to other people so much in this nation that we're just now getting another generation coming along that are not going to be so polite, because they keep their faces in telephones and games and things where they don't have to be. They don't associate with other people. They don't interact with other people. They don't think about those things. Their attention is kept by those games and what they're teaching them on those games and on the telephone videos and all such trash as that, instead of the Word of God. This stuff is boring to them because it doesn't grasp their attention like videos and games that they're playing. This is boring to them. And these are the words that the Creator God breathed Himself. And they call that boring. I'm going to read this and I'll close. My time's up. For many walked, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I told you who that's hypocrites. People say they're Christians and not. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Amen. Brother Gerald, would you